The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
What's the number one criteria of selecting a job opportunity over another? How much should you be paid? Is it all about some kind of an educational benchmark, or is there more to it? Brian, you're a headhunter. Any thoughts?
Well, I think it's all about benchmarking. It depends really on the industry, your level of qualifications, and I'll be interested to hear the insights from Madhu later on.
Yep, we discuss pay packages from things like work-life balance to gender gaps across different industries, the types of jobs, seniority levels, a lot going to be explored with our guest in the studio this morning, Madhu Ionesco, CEO of Salary Board. Madhu, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here today.
Let's talk about Salary Board to sort of get everyone on the same page. I understand that you're a firm that acquires data and from that you determine salary. Could you share more with us?
Yeah, that's correct. So we started Salary Board 3 years ago here in Singapore. We had the support of National Research Foundation. And right from the beginning, we aim to create an online solution that allows professionals to be able to understand their worth in the market based on their responsibilities and based on their skills.
I like that. Understanding your worth in the market.
Yes. So we came a long way since then. We are now both operating in Singapore and the UK. We help government organizations, we help companies and professionals alike to make sense of the labor market, both in terms of compensation, but also in terms of supply and demand.
Can I ask you, in terms of your business model, because you're an online company, how do you make money and who do you compete with?
Right. So we consult, for example, here in Singapore, okay, MTI. So we help organizations like this to make sense on, you know, what's the current market and supply, what's the current compensation level for certain positions. So that's how we make money particularly. We also have large organizations as clients that they want to understand what compensation levels they should apply to their workforce.
So in other words, your competitors are the traditional brick and mortar people, for example, like Watson Wyatt and Hewitt and Hayes?
Yes, that's correct. So that's our main competitors. You're right. What we do differently, though, is we acquire much more data faster, and we are better of understanding the responsibilities from those data. So I think that's the biggest differentiator.
Madhu, I noticed you used the word compensation at least twice for the first two questions. What do you mean by that? Do you mean compensation as equals to salary?
So we actually refer to as remuneration. I'm just saying,
right,
compensation.
Okay.
Compensation is more commonly used.
Right.
So salary is one component of your remuneration. Actually, you have also benefits and you have of all type of long-term incentives. Mm. So remuneration is a much more complex package. We tend to look only at salary, but the reality is, especially in senior positions, salary is just a small component of the total remuneration.
So always look at the entire value as opposed to just what you take home every month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Can we look at it more from a candidate perspective? And what does your research show you in terms of the top three reasons why people change jobs? And why do they do that?
The number one reason has been in Singapore, and I think it will be for a long time, the relationship you're having with direct responsible, the relationship you're having with your boss.
Right.
It's not money.
It's not necessarily money. People leave a company because they just simply can't work with the people around them, especially with the boss, right?
Okay.
Because this
okay.
is who you interact the most. So this is true across all age groups, and it's true across all jobs, actually. The number one reason comes compensation. Money comes second in this case. Apart from that, for other reasons would be, you know, career progression or maybe job security. And definitely, it really depends on the career stage you're at.
Okay. If you're at a career stage now, you're thinking of making a change, well, you're hearing the thoughts of Madhu Ionesco, who is the CEO of Salary Board. Let's talk about determining compensation / salary. What about responsibilities over job title? What are the things that need to be considered when we're talking about compensation package?
This is highly important to us. We started this company because we realized that the whole industry, in our opinion, was broken. We looked at job titles in order to determine the compensation for a certain professional. But in reality, you have a project manager that might run a project, manage a project across the whole organization with a huge budget of $30 million. And you're comparing it with another project manager that might manage a sub-project with a very small budget. So what we're really cracking here is being able to quantify how certain responsibilities have an effect on compensation.
Am I right to say, if you don't mind me jumping in, you have these generic roles like senior executive or senior manager, but one senior manager is so different from the other.
Mm-hmm.
So their salaries should be different and not really just because of an educational qualification standpoint?
Right. So it's highly complex. We're looking at 30-plus factors that affect compensation.
Wow.
So we're looking at responsibilities, industry. We're looking at company size. We're looking at very large and broad spectrum of factors affecting compensation. And in order to make sense of this, we actually use machine learning, which is, we're just a couple of companies worldwide doing this successfully.
Moving on to your point again, and we're talking about compensation, how do you sell experience to your advantage? Because especially in a Singapore context, we're a very competitive economy. And one of the issues that we have is perhaps older people in their 40s, mid to late 40s, losing their professional jobs and being replaced by people in their mid-30s to late-30s, essentially doing the same jobs but being paid a lot less. How do you sell experience?
I mean, you need to be proud of your past experience and you need to be able to explain with real examples how your previous experiences might have a positive impact on the business you're going to join. It's really about bringing up those relevant events that you had in the careers that might be relevant for the business.
In terms of supply, I'd like to touch on supply. And by the way, this morning we are speaking with the CEO of Salary Board, Madhu Ionesco, in the studio with us. I asked this question to Brian earlier on. As an employer, you're trying to hire people for a particular role. What's the average number of candidates we should look at? Brian recommends a two-prong approach where internally you source for people, but at the same time you get an external headhunter. What are your thoughts on this?
I think you need to put things into perspective of the role you're trying to hire. So especially, there are these new type of jobs. Think about, data scientists, cybersecurity specialists, drone operators. They didn't exist 10, 15 years ago there.
Not even 5 years ago.
Right? It's so hard sometimes to even source what we call in the recruitment, for those candidates. You will find that you're trying to fill a role and nobody shows up for certain roles because just not enough people in the country, right? And things getting even more complicated if you're trying to bring for someone from outside the country. It really depends on the job that you're trying to source. Best talent, we think it's inside your company already.
Right. So you are a believer of so-called training and promoting from within,
especially for those hard to fill roles.
Okay.
It makes much more sense to train the people inside your organization.
And what do you think are roles that are short supply right now in the market?
So we see a lot of roles in senior management in finance.
Oh.
I mentioned cybersecurity because it's very, very hard to fill this type of roles now. Data science is hot. Specific skills in software development, they are very interesting for the candidates, to what we call a candidate-driven market. So yeah, there's definitely this new type of roles that we've seen developing in Singapore.
Everyone can't help but discuss, maybe slightly controversial, I don't know. Let's talk about gender pay gaps. There are pay gaps across different industries. Madhu, to start us off, what types of jobs see the most gender pay gaps? What have you observed from the data?
Yes, from the data, what we see is that there are two different type of categories that they stand out in terms of gender pay gaps. Firstly, it's the senior management type of position. So when we look at a CEO or a managing director, when we look at financial institution manager, such as a branch manager, for example, when we look at R&D directors, we see gaps that they reach up to 40% difference between female and male.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is indeed. So this is one category of the jobs which stands out.
Can I ask you, has the data or have you all inferred the reasons behind this substantial gap for similar jobs? Because that's a very significant gap.
Well, at this point, you can only make assumptions because, it really depends on case by case. And you don't really, go down to each individual and understand the specific situation on how they reach to that compensation package.
Sure.
But what we definitely see is that we see another category of jobs, such as more traditional ones. So you can see, for example, legal counsels, you can see chefs, or you can see specialists in the medical practitioners, where the differences can reach even higher. So, you know, if you look at special medical practitioners, the difference can reach up to 53%, 58%, depending on the specialty.
That is staggeringly horrible to hear. Madhu, is there any industry where women come out on top in terms of pay gaps? Come on.
Yes, of course, of course. So I wouldn't say industry, but definitely there are some certain positions that we see differences. So we see, for example, professionals such as tax accountant, registered nurses, where female actually get better, no? Where we see 12%, 11% compared to their male counterparts.
And this is Singapore only data, or is this, because you operate in the UK as well, is this Singapore data or UK Singapore data?
So this is purely Singapore. UK has completely different dynamics.
Can you give us a perspective of the UK dynamics so that there's a basis for the comparison? They are also an advanced economy.
Actually, they're not that better off than us. You know? Okay. So we see similar differences. I would say that there's more conscience to solve that problem.
Okay. So there's a better effort over in the UK to solve that problem. Is that what you're saying?
At least, yeah. Okay. You can perceive a better effort.
Right.
But you don't really see the results.
How do you perceive a better effort? As in, is it because the percentage gap is lesser or has been lessening?
Or is it something to do with legislation and noise?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
So which sort of countries, and if you don't mind me asking, would be the gold standard in terms of gender inequality? So literally, there's very little gaps between male and female compensation.
You know, I don't know what people in the Nordic countries of Europe are doing, but they are always on the top of the game, no? So you can see countries like Norway that were for 30 plus years, there's pure transparency on compensation, and that really had a positive effect in reducing this gender pay gap.
We could learn something from there.
Now, having heard these numbers, I can hear the feet stomping on the ground and women going up to their bosses and saying, hey, I need more money. So what drives people? So this is obviously a push factor now in terms of negotiating or renegotiating salary with your employer. But in general, what are these factors?
You know, every case is different, you know, and it's not only about compensation. People evaluate their work-life balance. They evaluate their job security. Mm-hmm. So they evaluate much more than just compensation, you know, and it's a highly individualistic decision. Some people just put more emphasis on compensation than others.
Okay, let me look at the flip side of the equation because we've not discussed this yet. One of the reasons potentially, which has been used in the past to account for gender inequality in terms of roles, is the fact that perhaps, one, women tend to leave the workforce for a while to have children and then come back into the workforce. So then that accounts for some gap in terms of seniority at the similar age. So you could be, to use your earlier example, a project manager. Both are project managers. One is doing far more complex projects. The other one is probably doing less complex projects because they haven't got the similar level of seniority. That's one aspect. The other aspect is, of course, the fact that perhaps women tend to stay in the same organization longer, and that's for don't get as much pay increases as if you jump around, especially in the financial sector.
I mean, we don't have enough data to justify that women jump or they have a shorter tenure. And I would say that decisions about compensation, they should be taken based on performance and they should be taken based on their responsibilities.
I agree.
So there should be no proper answer on why women should earn less if they are doing the same, if they have the same accountability, if they have the same responsibilities.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for saying that. This morning we're hearing the thoughts of Madhu Ionasco, CEO of Salary Board. You're about to become a very popular man because this is the most important question we are going to ask you today. How do I ask for a raise?
I mean, look, first of all, you should ask for a raise.
So, are you saying it's my right to just go up and ask for a raise?
Definitely. So we know for a fact that 40% of the employees, actually, they don't ask for a raise when they join a company. And why not? I mean, the employers, 85% of them, they're actually expecting you to negotiate your salary. So go ahead and do that right from the beginning. But when you are already in an organization, start by doing a very good research. Increasing pay is about performance and it's about responsibilities. So be able to briefly outline how your performance have actually contributed to the business outcome, how your work has been contributed to the business. The second thing to do is to actually define on what you're going to ask.
Okay.
Right. So, and you need to be, you know, understanding first the market. Typically, it's around 3%.
Sure.
If you're going to ask for a 10%, that's rare, unless you need to be somehow adjusting with the market or unless you have a really strong argument on your performance.
And also, perhaps because you're already undercompensated and it's a basis of catching up to a proper compensation level.
Yes, but, you know, bring on the facts, you know, bring on the facts.
That's important. Okay.
Another thing that is very important and we so often forget is that it's a two-way highway.
Okay.
So put yourself into the shoes of your manager. Sometimes they do not have the authority to actually give you that increase. So you need to come up prepared to actually bring in the right information for him to bat for you.
To escalate.
To escalate, okay. Correct. So it's something that we so often forget. And lastly, you know, if you're going to ask, schedule a proper conversation, set a meeting, bring all the data, and stay focused on the facts. You know, it's important that you stay positive, and it's important to have a discussion, not an argument.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking time to come to the studio today. I certainly hope you've been taking notes. We've been hearing the thoughts this morning of Maru Ionasco, CEO of Salary Board. Thanks again for your time. We wish you a good week ahead.
Thank you for having me here today.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.